Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 7, 2020. The coronavirus teaches mutual guarantee. See what the creator is doing. We thought that a person could get a new mind and new feelings only through such unconventional blows as world war, natural disasters, volcanic explosions, hurricanes, and tsunamis. But it turns out that this was not necessary. Quietly, unnoticed, some virus appears and does all the work. It is simply mercy on the part of the Creator to restore order by such methods. The virus has already forced us to close all artificially invented businesses that do not bring any benefit and only pollute the globe. You can already see how we quit doing all sorts of stupid and unnecessary things. All systems that were built in order to boast in front of each other are collapsing, and nothing remains. From the revelation of the slightest influence of the Creator, in 4 to 5 months we have found ourselves in a new world. We are still being stubborn and do not agree with this world and are unwilling to recognize it. But we must understand that we are entering a new reality. The old life will not return, you will have to live a new life, and the restrictions will only increase. The world is ruled by one upper force, there is none else besides it. But this does not mean that we should bow down and accept such an existence out of hopelessness. We need to acquire the mind and feelings of the Creator and live on the level of His decisions and actions in order for us to agree with everything that is happening today, with the fact that unnecessary places of work are being closed and our lives are changing, and with the fact that we have to take more care of each other. After all, if I infect someone with a virus today, then tomorrow he can infect my children. We are becoming more and more connected and dependent on each other. The coronavirus shows our interdependence. Therefore, it will not work to protest and do what you want, as those who go to demonstrations and refuse to wear masks. There is no way out, I have to educate myself to become responsible for others, and they will be responsible for me, for my family, my children, and all of humanity in general. The coronavirus teaches us, from a distance, little by little, about mutual guarantee. We are already beginning to see a linked, connected world where everyone, whether he wants to or not, affects everyone, and everyone affects him. And all this happened thanks to some tiny virus. What a mercy from the side of the Creator. We see in the virus the work of the upper force, besides which there is nothing. And what can be done against it, where to find a cure for such a virus? But we do not need a cure for the virus. We need to find a cure for our egoism, and then we will not feel any virus. There is no other evil in the world but our egoism. If we protected each other from transmitting evil to others, the virus would disappear. The Creator wants us to acquire an intention to bestow, or at least not to harm our neighbor. Meanwhile, we are learning this law in a material form, but soon we will understand where it is in us, in a spiritual form, and so we will advance toward the Creator, toward understanding Him, toward the fact that there is none else besides Him. We will see this in everything. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, August 1, 2020, there is none else besides Him. Medium published my new article, A Generational Catastrophe in Education. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned that we're experiencing a generational catastrophe in education because of school closures during the coronavirus pandemic. On the one hand, I understand why this is sad. On the other hand, if we look at how people turn out after spending their entire childhood and adolescence in the educational system, I'm not so sure we should regret its closure. In my opinion, it is actually the disconnection from the old system that will allow us to examine it from a side, criticize it, and build a new and better one. The correct education system should put the emphasis on human connection, not on inculcation of information. It should teach children that people with different views are not enemies. the violence on the streets and within homes, the crime rate, substance abuse, prostitution, depression rates, suicides, all those are results of the education we give to our children. So one can lament the closure of the education system, but judging by the results, it hasn't been a success story. The deterioration hasn't started with the emergence of COVID-19. It has been going on for decades. The educational system was built during the Industrial Revolution, and its purpose was to give farmers who had migrated into cities the required knowledge to become machine operators. Over time, we added more and more fields of knowledge to the schooling system, but we didn't change the basic principle: memorize the material your teachers tell you, and that's all you need in order to do a good job. Somewhere along the way, we have forgotten that schooling gives children knowledge but does not improve them as human beings. That part, the one that teaches them how to communicate with other people, how to care for one another, how to be a positive element in society, has been forgotten altogether. Parents no longer teach it since the children aren't at home, and schools don't teach it since they weren't made for it in the first place. So the result is that 18 years after they are born, the sweet children on whom we pinned our hopes have become fully grown, incorrigible savages. This is why it is just as well that the schools have closed. It is yet another benefit of COVID-19 to society. The correct education system should put the emphasis on human connection, not on inculcation of information. It should teach children that people with different views are not enemies. On the contrary, they show us perspectives that we might have otherwise missed. Even if we disagree with other people, we would not know why we think what we think were it not for the need to articulate our views. Moreover, in a world so full of opposites, it is easy to see that just as nothing in nature is complete without its opposite, so it is with people. When we hold different views, it may feel like we are arguing over whose opinion is correct, but in truth, we are advancing the whole world to a higher level of existence. Similarly, when we look at our feet as we walk, it seems as though they are competing. But we, who see them from above, know that the apparent competition is really an advancement of the whole body toward the next place we want to go. Were it not for the apparent competition, we wouldn't advance at all, we would be standing still. But children do not learn all that at school, they only memorize. This is why I am so happy that we've finally come to a point where we can truly educate ourselves, become human beings, not human computers. Now, perhaps, there is hope for our species. Michael Lehtman, on Quora: Why does life punish good people? In today's distorted egoistic world, where people around the world prioritize personal benefit over society's benefit, it is naive and incorrect to think that good people will have a good life, and bad people the opposite. Rather, since our egoistic intentions underlie our social, political and cultural constructs, then it is natural to expect nothing positive to emerge from them. It is especially the case today, where our egos have grown to enormous proportions, much bigger than in any other time in history. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, humanity is in a developmental process toward a state of total unification, where we will experience perfection. Our current era marks a major transition in this process from our old egoistic world to a new unified one. Today, we can expect major flips and turns. The coronavirus pandemic is a prime example, where, if we successfully view them from within the natural process we are in, we will then see how they emerge in order to give us conditions that guide us to realize the very high density of our interdependence and interconnectedness. We will increasingly feel on our flesh that if we fail to align ourselves with the new and more connected conditions, then we will experience them as painful. On the contrary, if we upgrade our attitudes to each other in order to balance with our tighter interdependence, we will then experience our transition to a more connected world positively and harmoniously, as a new world of greater happiness, confidence and prosperity for all people that opens up to us. I thus help that the awareness of our connectedness and our place in nature will spread, so that we will be spared from a lot of suffering as we head into completely new conditions, different to anything we have experienced before. At the stage of reconstruction of the world. Question. Public opinion has taught people to live according to the principles of endless consumption, saying that this is the pinnacle of civilization. How can we not make a mistake now while building new relationships in society? Answer. The pandemic is just the beginning, the first small blow. Not even a blow, but a slight push to move us, a little. But all the same, the coronavirus will reshape us, in the most terrible way. We will see a collapsed, destroyed world, which we can no longer control with our past levers. Neither factories nor airlines, nothing will work the way it should. Everything must go through a completely new stage of reconstruction, correct change, to new unfolding conditions. The coronavirus has somewhat made the world integral. However, already proceeding from this, we understand that we are not adapted to this world. We do not even understand how we can return to the past. And you can't go back to the past. But in this case, 2 billion people will be left without work. How will they feed themselves? Or how are we going to supply them with what they need? Today, countries are spending hundreds of billions of dollars to somehow calm things down. These dollars disappear, we will not be able to demand them back into the state treasury. Therefore, we see that the powerful of this world have only strength, but no heads. We are facing a very big problem. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 30, 2020. We give birth to ourselves in a new world. We live in a world that is changing right before our eyes. Our whole life can be divided into two stages, before the coronavirus and after it. Life flowed according to a certain routine, and the virus suddenly made a drastic change in it, bringing all of humanity to a new state, which is still perceived as a global crisis. The crisis is growing and deepening, and it is not clear where it will lead, but it is clear that it is leading us to a new world that we are not yet familiar with. This crisis is like a new birth. The very word crisis, mashbear, comes from the name of the stone on which women in ancient times gave birth to children. In other words, crisis is the place of new birth, and the current state, which we call a crisis, is the birth of a new world. There have been many different crises in the history of mankind, but so far, none of them has changed the world so dramatically. There were only some changes in human society, in its form. But today's crisis is the first real one, although it does not seem very serious yet because it is not a war, a meteorite falling, or mass destruction. And yet, we can call it a crisis precisely because a new world is being born before our eyes. Soon we will see how human society, us, our families, and our attitude to the world have changed. The inner world of a person, his perception of reality will change, and we will see a new world. We do not see it yet, just like a baby that is inside its mother and does not see the world. But even when it is born, it does not see anything at first either. Then it will develop hearing and vision, and it will begin to respond as it grows and becomes familiar with the world. It is exactly how we adults need to be born and change our perception and vision to see a new world. It will happen soon. Childbirth is a huge, incomparable pain, a feeling that the whole body is ready to explode. On one hand, this is a very serious, critical, life-threatening condition. But on the other hand, we see that there is no choice, nature obliges us to go through it. However, the birth of a child is based on the natural desire of a woman to have children. In addition, there is the public opinion that motivates a woman to give birth to a child, and not only one. Nature gave the woman a lot of strength to endure labor pains. This is a difficult and dangerous state. The entire humanity is in this coronavirus crisis, both men and women. Women always reproached men for not knowing labor pains. Well, now women can be satisfied, men will go through real, severe labor pains. They will feel that the crisis is suffocating them, not giving them the opportunity to resist it. You are all torn from within, but you can do nothing. We will still be able to be born through prayer and efforts to unite. But it will be a very difficult and special birth because we are giving birth to ourselves in a new world. We cross the border to the spiritual world and are born in a new form. From CAB TV's Women in the New World, July 9, 2020. The virus, the integrator. Remark, you say that our path is the path of integration, the feeling of universal unity. My comment, this is inherent in the program of nature and there is no way to get away from it. The more we resist, the more we will get hit. Question, who is the integrator in this situation? There must be some driving force. Answer, the virus itself. Once it circled around the globe, it showed us that we are all actually integrated, interconnected, and represent one unified society, which it is now infecting. But the virus is not simply infecting, it is showing us that we are one whole. And we will not get away from it anywhere. It manifests itself anywhere, even on the distant islands of Oceania. And how it gets there, no one knows. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 24, 2020. Disconnection of Communities, Part 4. Assimilation is impossible. Question, in the territory of Germany, the Jews first appeared with the Romans in the 5th century AD, but the epicenter of Jewish settlements dates back to the 10th century. As in Spain, they contributed to the development of the economy and trade. Despite the instability of the situation of the Jews, Germany became one of the most important centers of the Jewish community. Here a special type developed, the Ashkenazi community. By the 17th century, the center of the Ashkenazi community moved to Poland, Lithuania, and Prague. This is how the German historian of Jewish origin Heinrich Graetz described the state of German Jewry: if the laboriously constructed organism of a nation has lost vitality, the bonds connecting the individual parts are weakened, and internal dissolution has set in, even the despotic will which keeps the members in a mechanical union being wanting. In short, if death comes upon a community in its corporate state, and it has been entombed, can it be resuscitated and undergo a revival? In addition, the mass process of conversion of Jews to Christianity, assimilation, and emancipation began. What do you see as the problem of assimilation? Answer, the fact is that it is impossible. As soon as assimilation begins, anti-Semitism immediately rises with such a force that assimilation is suspended. And despite the fact that Jews would very much like to dissolve into the people among whom they currently live, it is impossible. Comment, however, on the other hand, you said that the dispersion of Jews among other nations and their mutual mingling has a purpose. My response, the goal is not to physically mingle, but rather to bring their own ideology, culture, and monotheism to the nations of the world. We are talking about a historical movement that existed for several thousand years. It is written in the Torah that Jews should bring light to all nations. To do this, they need to become its source. In other words, they should not be dissolved, but should be a source of light, knowledge, monotheism, and a correct attitude to the development of civilization in every nation. For more on this topic, read my books Like a Bundle of Reeds, Why Unity and Mutual Guarantee Are Today's Call of the Hour, and The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From CAB TV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, August 12, 2019. Why is the opinion of others important to us? Question. The basis of conformism, first of all, is that the opinion of others is very important to us, even if we do not notice it or do not recognize it. Why do we care so much about the opinions of other people whom we neglect, and in fact do not care about at all? How can you explain this paradox? Answer, this is indeed a paradox. On the one hand, I am deeply indifferent to others. On the other hand, it is very important to me that they approve of me. If even a small mouse, cat, or dog shows some gesture of disdain for me, I will get upset. This will hurt me very much. It is arranged so by nature so that we would get into correct contact with the world around us. So that we will have good mutual communication. So that I will correctly influence the world and the world will influence me in global harmony. Question. In principle, if I didn't care about society, I would never be able to establish proper communication with it. Answer. You would not be able to change yourself and feel the globality and integrality of general nature. This is the most important thing. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 30, 2020. Transformation from embryo to human. Why does nature make the birth process accompanied with such terrible agony? The fact is that afterward, this pain turns into force. The pain experienced by a woman during childbirth strengthens her and gives her tremendous strength later in life, which allows her to care for the baby and endure life's trials. The suffering experienced during childbirth strengthens the woman's body. Therefore, a woman who has given birth is stronger than a woman who has not given birth and is stronger and more patient than a man. Birth pains are very beneficial for health. It gives women patience and resilience in life. Therefore, the suffering that humanity is going through now in connection with the coronavirus will give it strength for development in the future. After all, we will have to pass from one world to another, like a baby who is born from a mother's womb that turns from an embryo into a human. After birth, he begins to behave in a completely different way and to become acquainted with a new reality and a new world outside the mother's womb. The body of a newborn begins to act independently. The child cries, smiles, learns to listen, see, and then speak. The child also goes through the pains of birth, although not as strongly as the mother. He loses all the sensations he had inside of his mother. His mother pushes him out. But he himself makes an effort to get out as well. Of course, he does not understand what he is doing but acts instinctively at the call of nature. Nature forces the baby to turn his head down and gives him the strength to get out of the uterus through the narrow birth canal in order to be born. The baby also does a great job in childbirth. Today each of us is such an embryo, and the mother's womb is our environment. We need to be born with the help of the environment and start living in a new environment, feeling the environment as a part suf, Hebrew face, of our soul. We are forced to give up the usual life in the old world where we felt warm, confident, protected. Now we leave this place and go out into a new world that we do not know. How can we get through this state, overcome this barrier? It is not yet visible that the uterus is beginning to open. Everything is closed for now, even though the contractions have already begun. But these contractions, the pressure on humanity inside the womb, is not directed yet. The embryo has not yet turned its head down, and it will take time for it to be born. Turning head down is a turnover of values, of everything that was important before. Head up means that the most important thing for me is my egoism and my own selfish existence. But now I want to abandon this approach, cancel, forget about myself, and start behaving in a new way, which means that I turn upside down. Everything that was important to me before is no longer important, but what is important now is something completely different from before, bestowal, unification, love for one's neighbor. The old values of human society, food, sex, family, money, power, knowledge, all these lose their value in the new world where we are all going to be born together. One acts on completely different principles. The main thing for us is to unite and reveal a new reality in the connection between us, a higher power, unite with it, and constantly strengthen this contact. From CAB TV's Women in the New World, July 9, 2020. Where is the freedom of choice hidden? Question: how will the current pandemic affect our development? Does it promote human free will? We see that it, on the contrary, kind of takes away our freedom of choice because we behave in accordance with the external circumstances in which we exist. Where is freedom here? Answer: actually, we have not had any freedom of choice. We never have been guided by it, we acted only in the name of our egoism. Taking into account all kinds of restrictions that the environment imposes on us, we have acted only under the influence of one single factor, our egoism, in order to fill and satisfy it every instant. Comment: in the past, at least there was an illusion of freedom of choice. My response: you are right. The illusion has disappeared. But precisely due to the fact that it does not exist anymore, we have the opportunity to achieve real freedom of choice. It is to rise above our egoism, which fetters us, hand and foot, and does not allow us to be free in any way. That is, freedom of choice is, first of all, freedom from one's egoistic nature, which is imposed on us from above. Question: why is it written in many sources that free will is in choosing the correct environment? Answer: this is already a means. If I believe that I am obliged to get out of the power of egoism that dominates me, then I am looking for a means to achieve this. And it turns out that this can be done only by building an appropriate environment that would correctly influence me. Question: in an egoistic society, receiving from it brings me pleasure, and giving back to society causes suffering. I do not want to give to it, or I do want to, but to the extent that I receive from it. But suddenly values in society begin to change and they tell me that giving is good. And I begin to work, as it were, against my egoism. Is this the freedom of choice that you are talking about? Answer: freedom of choice is to expose oneself to the influence of the correct environment in which the property of bestowing is considered the highest and prevails over the property of receiving. Then by including myself in this society, like a small child with closed eyes, surrendering to it, I can change these two levels in me so that the property of bestowal would be more important, better, and greater to me compared with the property of receiving. Question: so, on one hand, I am going against my natural property to receive. On the other hand, society provides me with certain values that tell me that it is worth giving back to it. And this conflict evokes a certain spectrum of actions in me in which I am free? Answer: absolutely right. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 30, 2020. New Life 1170. Interpreting Reality Correctly.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about how to correctly interpret reality. We live in a world. Different things happen inside us, around us. We interpret them. And today on our show, we'd like to understand how does the mechanism of interpretation work in us, and maybe how can we use it in a better way. Yeah, there's reality, there are facts, and there's our interpretation, the story we tell ourselves about reality, and our attitude toward reality, our interpretation, can determine whether we'll be stuck in thoughts that will not advance us, or that we can use them for the better, in a positive, beneficial way. And so today it's very common that we're advised to choose a constructive, advancing interpretation. For example, a friend didn't reply to my email, I can think, she doesn't like me, she doesn't care about me, we're separated. Or I can think about something more constructive, maybe she has some problem with her phone, I'll try to contact her again. Or if I failed in something, I can think, I'm a failure, I shouldn't try again. Or I can build a different story. Maybe I can learn something from this, try something new, and so on. Meaning, the commentary that a person gives to what happens to him is really crucial to his success in life, well-being. So, what we'd like to ask is, why do we have the tendency to interpret reality in a negative way? Whatever happens, we think that it's against us, that something's wrong about me, I can't do it. Where does this inclination to see things this way come from? Dr. Lightman, we're living in a hostile world. I'm not living in a village, and I'm not a farmer or a herdsman. But then I go out in the morning or in the evening with my flock and everything's fine. And I feel nature, and everything's blooming and nice and birds. But I live in a different kind of jungle. And I feel that here you have police, and here you can get a fine. And here you have problems and troubles, and here there are managers, and here I can cross, and here I can't. And a thousand different things that are pressuring me all the time. I don't feel myself free, like I am in nature, that I have no complaints against nature, that it's nature, you know, it's like a mother. And the people around me, what they show me is that something's wrong as if about me. I take up space. I'm not behaving like I should. I took someone's place. I didn't behave properly. This, that. Meaning the society that I'm in wants to show me that I'm a disturbance in one way or another. And it's true. Because I take up space. I need attention and so on and so forth. And this is how everyone else is too. So it all depends on the measure to which we have the right relationships between us. And what are correct relationships? What is our correct attitude toward each other? That I accept everyone, all people, in a preferable way. First of all, that this is a given, and I'm not trying to erase it. I'm not going to try and nuke them or something. But I have to behave properly toward them, integrate with them, live with them, and as well off as they will be, so will I. There has to be some kind of a correct human system here that teaches us what does society want from us and what can we demand from society. Contribute and demand. Therefore, the main thing is that the way we interpret reality depends on the way that we interpret our environment. And here I have to understand that I'm in an egoistic society, that everyone's an egoist. Everyone wants to swallow the entire world and make them his slaves. And because that person has no choice, then all in all, he's willing to restrict himself. Now tell me, if by character I'm like Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that everything's mine and everyone has to behave the way I feel like. Before I do or make some sign, everyone already understands and does it. This is our ego, that it is king of the world. So if my ego demands that of the entire world, and in return, I have to all the time diminish myself, restrict myself, and to accept others as they are, and not to respond like a king responds. So see the kinds of frustrations that I'm in every moment. It's terrible. I have really hard work to do here with myself. What do I do? Nothing you can do. The more we advance in this horrific human society that's pressuring everyone all the time, showing everyone that even though that you're as if king of the world, but for us you're the zero of zeros. So if a person gets this kind of response from the world, how can he treat the world favorably, nicely? How can he agree with the world? Meaning, inside, and this is something that exists in everyone, there is a kind of grudge against all of reality, against the entire world, that he doesn't want to interpret the world correctly, because it's really hard. But he somehow starts to reach some kind of consent, 50-50 or however it turns out. But because I have no choice, I agree for things to be one way or another. But on the inside, he remains with the same calculation. I deserve 100% and I'm getting zero. And even less because I have to serve them and restrict myself. Tal. So a person that negatively interprets the attitude, the environment's attitude towards him, he's actually a realist? Dr. Lightman. He's true. He's real. Tal, and wouldn't you advise him to choose a more positive commentary? Dr. Lightman. Won't help. It's nature talking in him. Where are all of our illnesses from, eruptions? And now it's becoming even more evident in the younger generation that no one wants to get married. And in general, everyone gets drunk, use drugs. Where does that come from? A person wants to escape reality because this reality is against his nature. So if you want to teach someone how to correctly interpret reality, it's not necessarily to tell myself a story that I'll feel pleasant with. Dr. Lightman, how could it be pleasant? I'm a realistic person. Sometimes there are pleasant states in life, relationships between people. Dr. Lightman, this is after we folded, after we compensated for something, but it doesn't always work. Usually it's the opposite. Owen, suppose something happens. Suddenly, you can relate to it in one way or another. Your attitude toward that thing that happened can make you feel good or feel really bad. Not what happened, but your interpretation. This is what we mean by interpreting reality in a way that's good for you or that does not advance you. What is the most important thing for a person to learn in order to start interpreting what is happening to him correctly? Dr. Lightman, correctly or that I'll feel good? That I'll feel good, like when I'm drunk? Oh, no, of course not. In a way that will advance me as a person, as a human being, Dr. Lightman, then I won't feel good. I won't. Owen, okay, let's replace the word good with the word correct. How to correctly interpret whatever happens. The first thing you can teach me, Dr. Lightman, that all of nature is egoistic and that we're all in a struggle of how to feel better at the expense of others. Oh, and when something happens, this is what I have to remind myself about? Dr. Lightman, maybe? Owen, suppose you studied in the university and you flunked a test. You invested a year, two, I don't know, and you flunked. Now you can tell yourself, look, I'm a failure. And you did your best. You can say, I'm a failure, or you can say, maybe this profession is not for me. And it's a sign that life's giving me that I have to move to something else. So these are two examples, something that suppresses your development or something that enhances it. How to relate to everything that happens in a better, more favorable way. What do I have to know? Dr. Lightman, you have to be in an expert point of criticism, of scrutiny that will be above all states. And you have to take into account what will you get out of this and what will you get out of that. and to also understand that to demand of society from the environment what you want according to your character won't work, and also to completely bend toward the environment you can't either, because then you won't realize yourself at all, and so you're looking for some kind of compromise. Owen, you mentioned like this expert point where you're like in this point of scrutiny, and I felt that I'm like a drone, a bit disconnecting from my emotional state, that I failed and so on, and I as if look at everything a bit from the outside in, analyzing, as if I'm not myself. It's like I invited some expert to help me analyze the situation and how can I advance from it. Is this an ability that a person can develop to a bit look at things, Dr. Leitman? Depends on the environment. If this is what the environment does, if this is what he's taught, then he can do that too. But it's not a psychological matter. It's not something that you learn. It's a person's approach to life that doesn't depend on understanding life, but understanding human nature, which isn't one and the same. Owen, you mentioned twice that the most important thing to understand is human nature. How's that related to the situation? Dr. Leitman, we're talking about a person who wants to get something from the world. Yeah. And then when he gets it, he scrutinizes it and he has to think and decide, what does he do next? So we have to talk about human nature, or? Oh, and of course. And when a person starts understanding, studies his nature, this can advance him toward this new approach to life, Dr. Leitman. Yeah? Because maybe the problem isn't about the world and something that he can't change, or in society, which is something that he can't change, but about him, that this is something that he can do because maybe he is boss over himself. This is exactly what we wanted to learn, how to change our attitude toward what happens in order to really be able to advance. One of the things that happen when something unpleasant happens is a person starts asking, why me? Why did it happen to me? He kind of feels like a victim of reality. So what questions can a person ask himself in order to advance from this point of helplessness? What do we have to ask ourselves? Dr. Leitman. Talking as someone who's engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah, then we have to understand that here we're living in a completely different world than the one that we see. And the way we see the world is the way we see ourselves, how we project our qualities, our traits onto the world. And this is why the world seems to us the way it does. Oh, this is interesting, Dr. Leitman. It's perception of reality. The world has no shape. The shape in which the world, the form in which the world's depicted in me, depends on my qualities. And if I change my qualities, my basic fundamental qualities, by that I change the world. Meaning the picture that I see. It's like with a computer. If you put new data into it, then the same picture you saw on the computer screen with trees and water and sand, instead of that, you see maybe not something completely different, but you add sun, birds, and so on. Meaning it all depends on your qualities, how you program the world. The world itself has no shape. It's really like in a computer. And you, with your qualities, can really play like on a keyboard. And by that, to form, to shape the picture of the world. This is the true, correct education. And this is the correct interpretation to the perception of reality. I have to understand that reality does not exist. But what exists is my ability to correctly depict reality. The correct depictions that make up reality are called spiritual degrees. And each and every depiction that I can depict, and the more I can advance in these depictions, this means that I cross from one perception of the world to a perception of a higher, more exalted world. And this way, I'm in a state where reality isn't the way it's depicted to me now. It's depicted in me now. But reality is what I determine about how I want to be. By this, I realize my free choice. Freely choosing the environment in which I want to exist. Tal, I saw this saying that reality isn't happening to you, but for you. It's like offering people to think that reality is happening all the time in order to advance you. Do you agree with this saying? Dr. Lightman, reality exists for a person when it awakens, appears in him. From that reality, from that, let's call it computer, that exists in a reality, in order to give a person the option to express his attitude toward the reality that's shown to him, and to give him the ability to change reality, to change what we call the screen, the masach. So, previously we asked, what questions does a person have to ask himself when he gets a negative feedback from his reality? What does he have to say? How to interpret it? It could be an illness, failure, it could be different things. Dr. Lightman, if I get a negative feedback from reality, it means that I'm guessing reality incorrectly. Oh, and what do you mean, Dr. Lightman? I'm not reading it correctly. I'm not connecting reality with the force that's immersed in it and myself, because reality, all in all, is the measure of connection, of my connection with the inner force of nature. We call it Creator. And reality is in between. It's a kind of screen on which I see different forms. The forms that I see that exist between myself and the Creator are only in order to bring me to a more and more advanced and correct attitude, that I equalize myself more and more with that force. And this is how I read reality. So reality in and of itself isn't real. There's only the adapter, the connector between myself and the upper force. Owen, with this amazing concept, I'd like to try and practically understand in terms of a person's attitude and the commentary that he gives or interpretation that he gives to life, to reality. Suppose something negative happened. Could be an illness, failure, something negative. I feel it. Next step. Dr. Lehman, sorry, I didn't understand you. Oh, and something negative happened. Could be like a serious illness or a small failure. Something that I feel as something bad. The first step that I have to take in order to correctly interpret reality, Dr. Lehman, to tie, to connect what happened to you in emotion and understanding with that force that's creating your reality. Done. And then what? I connected it, I understand that it comes from Dr. Lightman, from him. And his goal is to bring me to equivalence of form with him, for us to feel and understand each other, that I won't have any imaginations, but that I will acknowledge this force. Meaning, this reality comes to teach me how far I still am from him, and that I'm not grasping, perceiving him correctly. He is the good that does good. And I see reality as something bad that harms me all the time. So how do I change? This is what it's about. How do I advance myself to see the true, correct reality? There's just one thing that I can do. I can't change reality itself. In the simplest way, you know, to switch screens and see something else. I can't change that force. So how do I change myself? Up to the point where I see that reality is whole and perfect. This is what it's about. Owen, so my commentary, what's the right, useful, advancing, developing interpretation to what happens, Dr. Lightman, that the world is all good, constantly presenting to me a negative picture of my inner reality, showing me how corrupted I am on the inside? Oh, and what is this inner corruption, Dr. Lightman? Suppose I have a car, and now in front of me I see a road that's all ups and downs and twists and turns and hills and bumps and whatnot. Terrible. I see it this way because my car is broken. Once I correct my car, I fix it. I see that before me there is a broad road, no problems, no turns, no nothing. Meaning, the world, the way I see it, it depends only on my qualities. I depict the world by my own qualities. Owen, and previously when you mentioned correction and corruption, what do I actually have to look for that's corrupted in me, and what do I have to correct for this picture to change? What is what? What exactly is that corrupted thing inside of me that makes these corrupted pictures, and what do I have to correct inside myself in order to get good pictures? What does it mean? Correction and corruption. Simply put, either I love myself or I love the other person. Oh, and what does it have to do with the pictures of reality that I experience, Dr. Lightman? It has to do with my perception of reality. I can't exactly explain it, but if you're asking what's the principle, the on-off switch, this is it. Owen, what's the connection, the relation between my attitude towards someone else and the interpretation that I give to the reality that I see? Dr. Lightman, how you interpret reality, either that it is to the benefit of your own ego or to the benefit of others. Tal, suppose someone hurt me, did something bad to me, so my egoistic interpretation is that I'm mad, that he did something wrong. How do I interpret that more correctly, Dr. Lightman? This work. But eventually you will see that the entire world is good. You will see the entire world in a way where you will understand. You'll feel and see that there's nothing bad in the world, and all the horror that you see, with all the people that did such terrible things and killed each other and so on. You won't believe me, but you will feel that they do not exist, that everything's included in that good force. Owen, according to this perception, our entire reality is the way we interpret it. There is no reality in and of itself, good or bad things, but how I interpret it, Dr. Lightman. True, and therefore, you call this talk to correctly interpret reality. Correctly correct yourself, and then you will have the true interpretation of reality. Oh, and in order to wrap all of this up, which is very deep, let's go back to the bad picture. God forbid a person is seriously ill or failed in something. Something big, something small, doesn't matter. The first thing you said in order to reach the correct interpretation is to tie everything that happens with the inner force of nature that creates this entire reality for you, and that this is a good force. What's the next step, Dr. Lightman? That you see this good as something bad because you're corrupted. It's because your qualities are bad and corrupt, and that's why you see it that way. Anyone who sees flaws in others, it's because of his own flaws. Oh, and the next step, Dr. Lightman, to the measure to which you start correcting yourself, all the bad turns into good, and then you see that there was never something bad or could be something bad in the world. Oh, and what I have to correct inside myself is my attitude toward others. Like you said, either you love only yourself or you love the other person. Dr. Lightman, yes. that this is the key, the switch that shifts me from bad to good pictures. Dr. Lightman, that's why love your neighbor as yourself is the basic rule of everything. Through love toward others, we reach loving the world, and everything falls beautifully and correctly into place, and then you will interpret all of reality correctly. Oh, and no matter what happens to a person, he has to look for how to increase his love towards others. Dr. Lightman, yes, this is the remedy for all bad states. As unrealistic as it might sound or seem. Good luck. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tad. Thank you for being with us. All the best.